So settle into your meditation posture. This is the posture which the optimum compromise between the way the body is, the way we'd like it to be, sitting in a way which is conducive to alertness and awareness. And we're spending some quality time with our body and mind. Trying to look again, fresh encounter with all the things we take for granted. Our body, our feelings and perceptions and thoughts. So what we are trying to cultivate here is steady, unbroken stream of awareness. When, put it more technically, when mindfulness, clear comprehension is sustained for a period of time, certain changes take place in the mind. There's a stability and clarity, peace, flexibility, these are characteristics all bundled together. We give this name of samadhi. So samadhi is what happens naturally when you create all the causes and conditions for it by cultivating mindfulness, clear comprehension. Within a mind which is founded on restraint and sila and respect for oneself and others. So the challenge is how to develop, how to cultivate mindfulness, clear comprehension until it comes together, the mind, it's almost as it converges into unity. And to do that, we need to discipline the mind, meaning need to give it a job to do, a task, and deal with all the obstacles we call the maras that come up to distract and delude. But we should not just look at meditation as a means of applying a technique in order to get a result. When we do that, then more subtle forms of craving and desire distort the meditation process. By focusing on a particular object, sensation, word, idea, whatever it might be, we expose the defilements in the mind which are so kind of encrusted on the mind as that they feel like they're part of who we are. But when we focus on the breath, for example, then we see these negative qualities, whether it's agitation, anxiety, fear, or stress, or indulgence in pleasant feelings from the past, imagination, the future. These weaknesses of the mind, faults of the mind, they become clear to us, they're revealed as being merely phenomena that arise and pass away according to causes and conditions. So the idea that mental states are not aspects of a independent, self-existent entity called self, who I am, who I really am, but are phenomena that arise and pass away according to causes and conditions. And this sounds like philosophy. But when we simply sit down and look at our breath and look at what's really going on in our mind, then we say, oh yes, that's exactly how it is. So in meditation, we're not seeking to confirm even Buddhist teachings, but we're looking very closely to see whether or not the Buddhist teachings hold up. You know, we're shining a light on the human mind, and the Buddhist teachings are essentially about the nature of the human mind. The Buddhist teachings are not statements about God and gods and metaphysical entities which you either believe or you don't believe. But the Buddha says the mind is like this. If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, that will happen. So you give it a try and you see, did the Buddha get it right or not? That's how faith in Satta, in Buddhist sense of the word, arises, from putting the teachings to the test of experience. Now, as the negative mental states arise in the mind, then we have this challenge to deal with them effectively. We're learning some very important life skills We're learning how to recognize negative mental states more and more quickly. And we're developing skillful means to deal with them effectively. This is not a meditation accomplishment in meditation, and it ends when you open your eyes. It's an accomplishment that you can make use of in daily life. You become much more aware of what's going on in your mind in your daily life through having looked very closely at your mind during meditation practice. So everything grounded in the body, keep coming back to the body. And if defilement starting to arise, hindrances starting to arise, tend to manifest in the body, there'll be counterpart feelings in the body. Body and mind to go together. So if the mind starts to become a bit dull, then that will affect the posture, the straightness of the posture. The sleepiness becomes more intense, and you maybe start to nod. And this. So keep coming back to the body and just check. So the goal, remember, is not to attain a special state which we might call peace or samadhi or jhana or jnana or whatever we want to call it. It's to be awake and aware, moment by moment, using the focus on the breath as a skillful means to promote this awake, aware, Buddha knowing. So we all have this awareness, but how can we isolate it? How can we separate it from all that obscures it? How can we stabilize it? So every single breath matters. Every single breath. And that's why to be consistent. So you only need a second or a few seconds of heedlessness, and lost the whole thread of mindfulness to begin again. So just taking one breath at a time, giving it your best shot, every single breath. Then start again. So see meditation as the duration of the meditation, as one breath. That's one meditation, an in-breath and an out-breath. Make that a really good meditation, and then new meditation, another in-breath, another out-breath, giving that equal sincerity and commitment to each and every breath, and recognizing the energy in the body. If you're starting to a little bit low energy, you need to be applying more effort. If it's a little bit tense, a little bit tight, then relax and keep adjusting and fine-tuning the quality, the intensity of the effort.